Morning, everybody. So I'm going to, I don't know where Rabbi Korotkin actually got up to, because I forgot to ask him. I asked him plenty of other questions yesterday, not to worry. But so I'm going to go back to the Mishnah, unless you got to the Mishnah on Lamed Beis. You got to that Mishnah? Oh, wow, he's a big tzaddik. Okay. I guess we don't want to go back then. People would rather finish early. Okay. Fine. So if you got to the Mishnah on Lamed Beis, then the Mishnah on Lamed Beis. Kol shu lifnim min achoma. Anything that is inside the walls, harehu kibate are choma, has the status of bate are choma, chutz min hasados, except for fields that are in the city. Those don't have the rules of bate are choma, right? Because what does bate mean?
Houses.
And houses is what's written in the pasuk. It says, Bais, the Gemara is going to go through this. This is the first opinion in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir has a wild opinion here, and as we're going to see, it actually gets refined. He says, af hasados. No, actually, even the fields that are inside the walls have the status of batei arechoma. Rabbi Huda Omer, eino kevatei arechoma. And he says, no, they're not kevatei arechoma, meaning the simple, Rabbi Huda follows the simple opinion of the Mishnah, saying, you know, following the fact that it's everything except for sados. Rabbi Shimon Omer, okay, sorry, I skipped the line, there we are. Bayis Abani Bechoma. I was wondering, I was like, I'm pretty sure I just said that. Okay, Bayis Abani Bechoma. Rabbi Huda Omer, Eino Kivate Yarech Omer, Shimon Omer, Kosel Achitzon, Huchi Chomaso. And there's a machlokas. What about if you have a house that's built into the wall? Most famously, who had a house built into the wall? Rachav. Wow. So anyways, the question is, would such a house be considered inside the walls, or would it be considered outside the walls? Rabbi Yehuda would be of the opinion that it is considered inside, is not considered inside the city. Rav Shimon is of the opinion that the outside wall, meaning that outside layer of the person's house, is considered the wall of the city, and therefore this person would be inside the city. Tana Rabbanan, bayis, ein li ala bayis, min ein l'rabos, bati barim uvati merchatzos, umigdalos v'shovachin uvoros v'shichin umaros. Says the Gemara, we have a brisa. Okay, and this brisa expands on the din of the Mishnah. It says, okay, let's, the Torah says that it's Bate Arechoma only applies to a bias, right? Become Habayis Asher Ba'ir Asher Lo Choma. And as we're going to see, the word Lo is spelled funny. We have a Kri and a Ksiv, or it's spelled with both. I don't remember. Here is a Kri and a Ksiv, I think. So, in that case, what? Correct. Lila, it's a Kri and a Ksiv. Right. But, anyways, in that passage, it says Become Habayis Asher Ba'ir. So, says the Brisa, I know bias, I know a house. What about all these other things? For example, Bate Badim, I think, are olive presses. Bate Merchatzos, wash houses, Mugdalos, towers, Shovachin, places where people used to keep birds, doves, I think, in particular, Boros, Shichin, Ma'aros, pits, ditches, little caves. How do we know that all of these things are considered like a bayis? Talmud Lomar, Asher Ba'ir, that they have the status of Bate Rechoma, because it's Habayis Asher Ba'ir, the house which is in the city, and therefore Asher Ba'ir comes to be inclusive. Okay, it's coming to include all of these other cases which sound like it. Yachal shani mar be'af hasados. One might think that therefore, because it says asher ba'ir, I'm even including fields. Talmud lomar bayis. However, since it says bayis, it has to be somewhat similar to a bayis, meaning I would think that a beis habad and beis hamerchatz would fall under that category of bayis. All of these things that he mentioned earlier, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda mentioned, would all fall into the category of bias somewhat. And Asher Ba'ir tells us we have an inclusive definition of bias, not a limited definition of bias. Because we could have looked at bias as literally just houses. We could have looked at bias as, again, sort of a more general definition. So Rabbi Yehuda says, we use it for a more general definition, but obviously we're not willing to go as far as to say that Sados fields would be included because they are certainly not a bias. Rabbi Meir Omer, bias, ein li ala bias. He says, no, bias is a limited read, says Rabbi Meir, and therefore would only teach me a bias. Minayin l'rabos batibadim, u'batimerchatos, u'migdalos, v'shirachan avaros, chichan u'aros, ve'afilu sados. And how do we know that I include everything else? Okay, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Talmud Lomar, asher ba'ir. Because asher ba'ir teaches you that all of these things are included, even things that are not a bias. Meaning bias is one category, asher ba'ir includes all this other stuff. Asks the Gemara of Elahoksiv bias, but it says bias. What are you going to do about that, Rabbi Meir? At the end of the day, you can say Asher Ba'ir, you can have a nice drasha, but that's specifically going against the pasuk. How can you do that? So says the Gemara, Amar of Kitina, chusis umetzula ika beinayhu. And if you look in Rashi here, Rashi basically says, to explain this, that at this point, Rav Meir actually drops this whole sados thing. Rav Meir, it's true that he agrees that, you know, sados will not count. The question is, what about these two specialized types of land where you can't really plant stuff? Okay, and they seem to be some sort of sandy area and a quarry, right? We've had Mitsulos Yam to be sort of the depth of the sea. But anyways, these are two types of places where we say that's going to be the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda, okay? And what's going to be the machlokas? According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says it's not similar enough to a house, to a bias. It's too close to a sadeh. And therefore, he says, it's excluded because it's like a sadeh. However, Rabbi Meir would say that no, this is considered close enough to all those other cases, and even though he agrees that sadeh would not be included in, right, Asher Ba'ir, he says that these two would be considered, and they're close enough to a house for us to justify them under the heading of Habayis Asher Ba'ir. And says the Gemara, V'altani, we learned in a braisa exactly like this, Chulsis umetzula, Rameir omer kvatim, Rabbi Huda omer kesados. And Rameir says it's close enough to a house, and Rabbi Huda says it's like a field, and that's what they mean in the Mishnah. When he says afasados, he doesn't mean literally plain fields. No one would agree to that. However, what he does mean is achulsis and metzula, that's what he includes with sados. Okay, so one more time, the machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah is referring to what will be the status of these chulsis and metzula, which again are sort of unplantable land areas, whether or not they would be considered like a house, which everybody agrees is included in the rules of Batei Arechoma, or if they are considered like a field, which everybody agrees is not part of Batei Arechoma. Rabbi Yehuda says that they are considered like a field, and Rabbi Meir says they're considered like a house, and therefore Rabbi Meir says the rules apply. Rabbi Yehuda says the rules do not apply. Okay, that was the first machlokas in the Mishnah. The second one, which I read through quickly and skipped over these words, which we go back to, is the case of a house built in the walls. Okay, Bayis Habanei Bachomer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Einu Kavat Arechoma, and Rabbi Shimon says that the outside wall is considered the wall of the city, therefore this house is considered inside the Batei Arechoma. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says he makes reference back to what we mentioned earlier, to Rachav. Okay? Ushneihem mikra echad darshu, both of them learned it from one pasuk. It says, V'atoridim b'chevel be'ad ha'chalon, ki be'sa b'kir ha'choma, v'choma hi yoshaves, that he let them down with a rope next to the window. It says, ki be'sa b'kir ha'choma, because her house was in the, you know, the wall, v'choma hi yoshaves, and she was dwelling in the wall. So Rabbi Shimon Savar Kepashti Dekor. Rabbi Shimon says, you read the pasuk, what does that mean? Uvachoma hi yoshaves. It means she's in the city. It's just saying she's living in the wall, right? But she's still considered to be in the city. I mean, that's why they went into her house. Full access to the city, you know, whatever else they needed. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, no. Bachoma hi yoshaves velo bi'ir choma. He says, no. What the pasuk comes to mean is like for a drasha, she lives in the wall. She doesn't live in the city. She lives in the wall. That's what it means, Bachoma hi yoshaves. And therefore, he would say that based on this pasuk, such a house is not considered to have the status of Batei Arechoma in Halacha, whereas Rabbi Shimon would say, absolutely it does, because Rachav's house was also inside the city. So, Adkan, those were the two machlokasim of the previous Mishnah. Continues the next Mishnah. Ir shegagoseha chomasa, Visheena mukefes choma miyemos Yehoshua binun eno kivate arechoma. This is a bit of a strange phrase that the Mishnah opens up with. A city whose houses, whose roofs are its wall, meaning there is no wall around it. That's what we're trying to say. Basically, we're saying the edge of the furthest house is that sort of the wall of the city. Townhouses. Okay? Townhouses, basically, yeah. It seems to be they were connected, yeah. But again, it doesn't, we're saying it doesn't have a formal wall outside of it. Okay, and the only way that it is surrounded is exactly because we have some connection at some point at the height of these houses. Okay? And it was not surrounded by a wall from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. That does not have status of Batei Arechoma. Ve'elu ein Batei Arechoma. And here is the minimum requirement for Batei Arechoma. Shalosh chatzeros shel shnei batim. Mukefes choma miyemos Yehoshua ben Nun. It has to be, at the very least, three chatzeros. Okay, and a chatzer was a courtyard which opened up to a number of houses. In those times, that's what a chatzer meant. Chatzer doesn't just mean like a closed-off area, like people might explain it to me now. Chatzer meant you had a shared area which had access to all these different houses. So, says the Mishnah, if you had at the very least three chatzers, and each of them contained at least two houses, Plus, if the city was surrounded with a wall from the times of Yehoshua bin Nun, that would be enough in order to qualify it as a city to which Batei Arechoma rules could apply. So says the Mishnah Kigon, Katzer Hayashana Shel Sipori, V'chakra Shel Gush Chalav, V'yodfas Hayashana, V'gamla, V'gedud, V'chadid, V'ona, V'Yerushalayim, V'chol Kiyotze B'hem. The Mishnah says, you know, for reference, if you'd like to know which cities would qualify, here's a list of cities that would qualify for this rule. Okay, so again, pretty straightforward Mishnah. It has to have three chatzeros, two houses in each chatzer at a minimum, and it has to have a wall that surrounded it from the days of Yehoshua bin Nun. And that's what will qualify it in terms of the rules of Batei Arechoma. Says the Gemara, Choma v'lo shur igar. Okay, shur igar. Shur is like from the word, I guess, of shura. Of row, but basically, which Rashi says, Gagos Echomasa, the word Choma comes to teach you that something which doesn't have an actual wall, but again, just rather sort of a makeshift wall that's connecting houses, that will not be included. Says, Choma, Baisdir, Beirashur, Lo Choma. Okay? So that word comes to exclude this case. What does it mean? It's the next pasuk. Ubatechajim Asherin Lahem Choma Saviv. Okay? I actually saw, when I was looking at this, actually, online, I was looking up what this was, and they actually did quote it from that pasuk, but it's actually, I think, from the next pasuk. Right? Rashi learns it from Lo Choma as well, but it could be Uvateach Asrim Asher in Lahem Choma Saviv, that we learn from the next pasuk, because the next pasuk says, the next drasha, which is Saviv, the next word, Pratla Tiveria, this excludes Tiveria, because the pasuk says it has to have a wall around it. Now, Tiveria, it's true, is walled off, but one side is not a wall. One side is the sea. So
sea,
even though...
It's a seawall, so to speak.
Okay. Right? And therefore, says the Gemara, that, again, won't be included because it has to be fully surrounded by a wall from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Yossi Omer, Asher lo choma, afal pisha ein lo achshav, v'haya lo kodem lachain. What does it mean, Asher lo choma, again, spelt in this funny way, or the kriuksiv, or however we have it? Even though it doesn't have one now, so long as it had one beforehand, that's going to be enough. Okay, meaning, if,
like,
let's
like
say...
The Megillah, right? Like the Megillah, like
Shushan. Yeah, I mean, like we have with pretty much any place that is Mukafes Chomam Yimas Voshua Ben Nun now, not all of their walls are still standing. But yes, that would be considered the rules of... These would be considered the rules of... Batei Arechoma, exactly. But that is elsewhere, of course, where the rules of Mukeves Choma Yosef Shua Ben Nun comes up for where you read the Megillah on the 15th of Adar. Okay. So these are the three rules which we mentioned based on the Pesukim here. Says the Gemara further, Ve'eluhin Batei Arechoma. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, okay, and the Mishnah, again, had this whole long list of places, and we now have a Braisa that says something a little bit strange. Gamla beGalil uGedud beEver haYarden veChadid veOna veYerushalayim beYehuda. So it tells us, by the way, in case you were wondering where these things are, which we still have no idea. I should have brought in a map. That's what I should have done, actually, because I'm sure I can track these things down. There's actually an interesting book that I saw is devoted to Talmudic maps. Does our scroll have a map for this? No. Okay. Not academic enough, I guess. So Gamla was in the Galil. Okay. Okay. Gamla was in the Galil. And Gedud is in the Eivar HaYarden, Transjordan, and Chadid and Onan Yerushalayim are in the area of Yehuda. Okay, Micah Amar, ask the Gemara. So what? Like, what's the chiddush of this? It's very nice that you're telling us the geographical locations, but what does that help us in terms of halacha? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Achi Kamar, this is what it's saying: Ad Gamla Bagalil, Ad Gedud Beivar HaYarden, VeChadid VeOno Yerushalayim BeYehuda. Okay, so Abaye says, depending on how you read, whether you follow Rashi, whether you follow Rabbeinu Gershom, a few ways to read this, is to say, up until Gamla in the Galil, whether geographically or whether in size, all of those will be considered Batei Arechoma, Ad Gedud Beivar HaYarden, up until, again, either a geographical location of Gedud and Eivar HaYarden, and up to the geographical locations of Chadid Ono and Yerushalayim and Yehuda, or anything, up to those sizes. These were sort of the sizes that, I think that's what the way Rabbeinu Gershom explained it, if I remember. But anyways, this is what comes out. It's up until those points. That's why Abaye says, the Braisa teaches it to us, if we follow Rashi's interpretation, the geographical areas, so anything in those areas, in, let's say, Eivar HaYarden, up until there, would be considered within those old walls. That's the Chiddush of the Braisa. Rava Amar, he disagrees with Abaye, and he says, no. Gamla bigalil lafuki gamla de shararatos. Gedud beivra yardin lafuki gedud de shararatos. Inach de lo ika de chavasayu lo itrichle. So says Rava, I'll tell you a different explanation. Perhaps the Bryce is just simply telling us which ones these are. We know, you know, one of the challenges you hear every once in a while, I was reading an article, they recently rediscovered and confirmed the identity of Tziklag, okay, which is a biblical city, and it's very, very hard to identify all of these places that we have coming up in Tanakh. Sometimes you've got two of the same two places with the same name, one's here, one's there, one's the next place. You know, for example, actually, this week's Parsha, oh, great connection, this week's Parsha in Chutz La'aretz, anyways, where was Eretz Bnei Amo? Okay, where was Bilam? Where did he come from? And you have like three, four, five different, you know, ideas as to where it might be. Where it might be here, it might be here, it might be here, it might be here. It's hard to identify a lot of these places. So Rava's saying, we need to know in terms of halacha. Rava's saying, never mind identifying now. Even then, in the times of the Gemara and the times that these prices were said, we needed to know which cities were it. Just because I had these names in the Mishnah wasn't enough. I had to say which geographical location they were in, so I would know that the halacha would follow that in those cities. And that's why he says, the Braisa tells us where they are to know. It's only this city called Gedud, not other ones. It's only this city called Gamla, not other ones. It's only... Correct, with the same name.
That happens nowadays. If you do a weather network search for a city, you get which one do you want of the 10 that are...
Yeah, or a Google Maps or any of those things. So anyways, that's according to Rava, that's the purpose. Now, here we've got a big problem, which really applies whether to Rava, whether to Abaye. Ask the Gemara, Yerushalayim, Mimichlat? Or Mimichlat Ba? Says the Gemara, 1 second. What's the rules of Batei Arechoma? Remind me, everybody who learned this yesterday. Silence. Okay. What happens is, right, after a certain amount of time,
after a year,
correct? What's the halacha? You have a year to get it back. If you don't get it back after a year, what happens?
It stays with the buyer.
Ask the Gemara, is Yerushalayim going to follow those rules? By the way, in case I scared any of you, I did actually know that. I just wanted to try to bring people in. I know it can be scary to say, what, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, in general,
I don't know what I'm talking about, but this happens to have been an exception.
We didn't know what we were talking about.
Okay? Says the Gemara. Okay, V'atanya. Because we learned in a brisa, started from Nemru Yerushalayim, and one of them was, Ein Habayis Chalutba. Okay, that there's no rule of Chalut there. Amar Yochanan, Kirushalayim, Dimukhef Eschomim, Yos Yoshua bin Nun, Vilo Kirushalayim, Dilu Yerushalayim, in Abayis Chalutba, Viluacha Abayis Chalutbahen. So says Rabbi Yochanan, I'll tell you what the resolution is. The resolution is that it's like Yerushalayim in terms of the halacha that Yerushalayim is considered a walled city from the days of Yoshua bin Nun, and it obviously has this minimum size that we were talking about, and therefore it has the rules of that. But the Mishnah wasn't actually saying that that's the halacha there. It's simply saying these are cities that would fit the definition, despite the fact that it happens to be that Yerushalayim doesn't actually follow these rules. But in terms of fitting the definitions, Yerushalayim does certainly qualify. Okay. Says the Gemara, Ravashi Amar, Lav Amar of Yosef, Trey Kadesh, Havu. Ravashi suggests a different answer. He says, didn't Rav Yosef say that there were two Kadeshes? Hachanami Trey Yerushalayim Avu. He says, if that's the case, then maybe we could just say that there were two Yerushalayims. One was the Yerushalayim that we know, which has a special rule that there is no rule of Chalot after a year. However, in the other Yerushalayim, which was also a walled city, Mos Yeshua Ben Nun, also had this minimum size requirement, that was also another city, and in fact, that one did have the rules of Chalot, and therefore, that's the one to which the Mishnah refers to. Okay, it's a bit of an interesting answer, but okay. Tanya, now we're going to have, you know, bring up another issue altogether. We're going to talk about, we're going to have a brisa which refers back to our Mishnah, and then we're going to talk about Kedusha Rishona for a while and then get on to some other stuff. So says the Gemara. Up until this point, we've resolved the Mishnah in one of two ways. Again, either in the way of Rav Ashi, saying that Rav Yosef said there's two Kaddishes, so there's two Yerushalayim, and the Yerushalayim in our Mishnah is not regular Yerushalayim, or that we're simply just saying Yerushalayim fits the requirements but doesn't follow the actual halacha. Says the Gemara now. Tanya. We learned in a brisa, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Tana Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi learned, Lama Manu Chachamim Es Elu, why did the rabbis count these in the Mishnah? Okay, so another reason as to why we sort of said them in the Mishnah. Shekhsha Alubnei Agola, when Ezra came up with his group of people, Matsu Elu, they found these, Vikidshum, and they re-sanctified them. Avo Rishonos, but the first ones, you know, even though they had Kedusha, Batlu, Misha Batla Kedusha, sorry, Batlu, Okay, the first ones were batal, mishabatal kedusha saharas, kasavar, kedusha shana kitchel shatav, lo kitchel asid lavo, famous machlokas, as to whether or not the original kedusha saharas, when Yehoshua came, lasts forever, only for that amount of time. And he is of the opinion, Rishmael Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that no, it doesn't last, and therefore they were re-sanctified when Ezra came up with his group. Says the Gemara, one second, Vermini Vivastira, I'm Rishmael Rabbi Yossi. Rishmael Rabbi Yossi himself said, were these the only ones? So if you look in the Torah, the times that it seems around the, you know, before the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, they had 60 cities, you know, in these areas that were considered Arimitzuros, which had a high wall around them, and that those were before the days of Yehoshua. So says Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, so why does the Mishnah count these? Says, why did they count these? They found these and again sanctified them. So far we've complete agreement between the first brisa and the second brisa. However, this brisa itself says, kichum? What are you talking about? They sanctified them. But we said that they don't need to be re-sanctified. Ask the brisa itself within the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rather, they counted them. Like these. So says Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, what's the interpretation of our Mishnah? These are examples of places that we have a tradition where the walls existed, and anywhere else that you have such a tradition, you would follow that as well. Okay, why? Correct, it's not an exhaustive list, and therefore in those any other places that you have a similar Masorah, you will also follow the rules about the Arachoma. Why? Specifically because anything which was around them and was captured by Yehoshua does still have Kedusha all the way through. It did not need to be re-sanctified. So if a direct stira between these two versions of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi explaining the listing of our Mishnah. And one, he says, Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Asid Lava, Kitchel Ashaita Velo Kitchel Asid Lava. The first one, he says, did not last. And therefore, Ezra had to re-sanctify these specifically. The second one, he says, these are just examples, but really everything was sanctified. So how can we answer it? In two ways, says Igmar. Ivaisema Tre Tanayi Velibid Rabbi Shmuel. Either it is two Tanayim according to Rabbi Yishmael. Okay? That one Tana, meaning one person said a Braisa, said it this way, and that was how he understood or he learned, you know, but that was really only his own opinion. He was saying it in the name of his rabbi, or you could say that one of them, and as we're going to see which one, was said by Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbi Shmuel but Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Omer, Asher lo choma, he darshins this pasuk Asher lo choma, afal pi she'en lo achshav v'haya lo kodem lachein. That he says specifically, even though it doesn't have one now, it had one previously, which means that Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shata Vikitchel Asid Lavo, so the second Brisa which we read, would have been his opinion and not, presumably, his brother Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. Okay. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to explore this a little further and deals with sort of the general sources for the opinions of Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shata Vikitchel Asid Lavo and the Lo Kitchel Asid Lavo. So that's more. My time at the Mandamar Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shata Velo Kitchel Asid Lavo. What's the reason from the Psukim for the opinion that it was not sanctified, you know, for the future as well? Dichtiv, Vayasu b'nei ha'golah ha'shavim min ha'shavi sukos vayeshivu b'sukos ki lo asu mimei Yehoshua binun kein b'nei Yisrael. So we have a pasuk from when they came up with Ezra, and it basically talks about, it says, all these people who came up, you know, did Sukkos, because they hadn't done Sukkos since the days of Yehoshua bin Nun. Okay? Vati simcha gedola me'od. And therefore, you know, there was this great rejoicing. Okay? Now, ask the Gemara. So basically, the simple understanding of these Sukkim, to summarize, is that for the first time they came into Eretz Yisrael and they made Sukkos, no one had had a festival of Sukkos since the days of Yehoshua bin Nun. That's pretty scary to think about. Ask the Gemara, after a Bad David Veloaser Sukkos? What are you kidding? You're going to take that literally? You think that when David HaMelech was king, no one kept Sukkos? Like, well, what can that possibly even mean? Achaba Ezra until Ezra came. Ella says the Gemara, what's it coming to say? Makish bi'asam bi'mei Ezra li'bi'asam bi'mei Yehoshua. It's comparing that which they came in the days of Yehoshua to that which they came in the days of Ezra. Right? Meaning, when they came in, it was like, wow, we're able to do Sukkos in Eretz Yisrael. Now when they came back, wow, we're able to do Sukkos in Eretz Yisrael. So says the Gemara, just like in the days of Yoshua, they counted Shemitah and Yovel, and they, again, sanctified the Arechoma. So too, in the days of Ezra, when they came back, they also counted Shemitah and Yovel, and they also re-sanctified any walled cities. So from this, you know, Pasuk, or Psukim, we learn that there was a sanctification of the times of Ezra, just like the sanctification of the times of Yoshua, meaning it didn't last. It had to be re-sanctified at that time. Okay? The Omer, another source, possibly. Okay, if you listen carefully to the Tefillah Shalom HaMedina, you'll pick up on this Pasuk. Makish Yerushas Chali Yerushas Avosecha. Okay, so this pasuk, it says Hashem will bring you to the land Asher Yarshu Avosecha, which your parents inherited, Virishta, and you will inherit it. So there's an inheritance of the fathers, the inheritance of you. Makish Yerushas Chali Yerushas Avosecha. It compares our Yerusha, you know, the second Yerusha, meaning of Ezra, Liyerushas Avosecha, to the first one. My Yerushas Avosecha Bechidush Kol Dvarim Halalu. Just like again when Yoshua came in, when he, your father and your forefathers inherited the land, it was including all of these new things. Also, your Yerusha, meaning Ezra coming in, will be with restoring all these things. Okay? The Idach, what about according to the other opinion that says, Kiddush HaRishona, Kiddush HaShaita, the Kiddush HaAsid Lavo, how will they explain these sources? Debairachami al Yetzer de Avodazara Uvatle. What does the Pasuk of Ezra mean? Okay? That again, Vayasu Hashav Minashev Yisukos, Vayeshu Yisukos. It means he davened for Rachmim that the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah should go away, and it was Mevutal.
Hard to see that from all of this.
It's a drash. No. It's a drash because right. It's like a sukkah. It hid them away from there. Oh. Right. That's what he'd be saying. Ve'agin zechusa alayhu ki sukkah. And the Gemara continues. Right. And his zechus guarded them like a sukkah. Right. They were able to finally sit in Sukkos in the land. Okay? V'hainu dekakapit kra ilavei di Yehoshua. And that's why the Pasuk is like so mad at Yehoshua, right? De'v'chol duchta ksiv Yehoshua, that in every other place it says, in Tanakh it says Yehoshua, v'achol ksiv Yeshua. And here it says Yeshua, here it says, okay? And here it says Yeshua, it spells his name differently. Okay? Bishlama Moshe lo bayir achami, and says the Gemara, why is this? Moshe, we understand why he didn't ask for rachamim that the Yetzer Har for Avodah Zarah should go away. Dilo have a zechusa of Eretz Yisrael. I didn't have the zechusa of Eretz Yisrael. Eli Yoshua, the Havalei zechusa of Eretz Yisrael, but Yoshua had the zechusa of Eretz Yisrael. Amai loli bayirachami. Why didn't he ask Hashem to banish the Yetzer Har for Avodah Zarah? And therefore, that's what this pasuk is coming to tell us, but it's not telling us anything about, you know, the kedusha of the Eretz. Certainly, Yoshua's kedusha lasted. Asking Mar Vaksiv Asher Yoshua Vasecha Virishta, but it still says that pasuk. Right, we still have the second pasuk, which is a source that just like they inherited it and they re-sanctified everything and kept Shemitah and Yovel, so too the second time around with Ezra, they had to do that. Hachikam arkevan diyarshu avasecha, yarashta at. Says the Gemara, no, that's not how you should be reading it according to this opinion. That this opinion would read it, since your forefathers inherited it, you can get to inherit it too. Meaning their kedusha lasts, it's the reverse reading. Ask the Gemara, umimanu shmitin v'yovlos? Says the Gemara, 1 second. We learned, according to the first opinion, that when Ezra returned, they started counting Shemitah and Yovlos. That doesn't make sense. Hashta Mishigalu Shevet Reuben Shevet Gad Chatzis Shevet Menashe Batlu Yovlos. Says from the time in the days of Sancherev, when Shevet Reuben and Shevet Gad and half of Shevet Menashe left, at that point the Yovel stopped being counted. Ezra Dichsivve. When it comes to Ezra, who it's written about Kol Hakol Keechad Avarivo Alpayim V'Sheishmios V'Shishim or V'Shloshmios V'Shishim. For him, where it says that they were just such a small number, right? 48, sorry?
48,000, I think.
Correct. 4,000.
48,000.
40,000, yeah. So I see, I don't see what 8. I see 40,000, 42, I see 42, 6, yes. 60. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Again, the Pasuk, I think, has slightly different. Okay, it has Shloshmeos Shishim. It says 42, 3, 60. Okay? And so we're saying, if that's all that he had, how could he possibly restore the counting of Yovel if we see even when a little bit of Bnei Yisrael is not there, right? Have money. How could he do that? Titania, Mishigal, Shev, Ruben, Shev, God, Hatz, Shem, Rashe, but Lu Yovlos. And as we learned, that's the halacha from this Rashe. Shenamar says in the Pazuk, Okrasem, Durar, Ba'aretz, Lechol Yoshveha. It has to be for all of its inhabitants. Bizmanche, Kol Yoshveha, Leha, Velo, Bizmanche, Golum, Exasa, not when a lot, some of them are in Chosaris. In the times of Ezra, barely anybody came up of the Bnei Yisrael. So how could they possibly reinstitute the counting of Shmitin and Yovlos? Says the Gemara, Yachal, Hayu, Aleha, Vein, Muravin, and even in a bigger Kiddush. Let's say all of Bnei Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, but they were in the wrong places. Vein Muravin, they're mixed up. Shev Binyamin Bihuda, Veshev Bihuda Binyamin, Yehe Yovel. Now, one might think that Yovel would be done then. Tamar Lomar, Lechol Yoshveha, Bizmanche Yoshveha Ketikunan. It has to be that they are properly dwelled below Bizmanche and Muravin, not when they are all mixed up with each other. So, getting back to this question, now that we're finished with the Kedusha Rishona, Kitchel Hashaitov, Kitchel Asid Love, when we addressed all the Mekoros on both sides, we're saying, one second, according to the first opinion, which says that it wasn't Kadosh forever, and it says Ezra started having Shemitah and Yovels again, how can that be? We see that the halacha is that you can't possibly reinstate Yovels at that point in time with such a small group of people coming up. Amr of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Manu Yovlos l'kadesh Shemitin. They counted Yovlos in order to properly keep Shemitah. Meaning, certainly agrees the Gemara, they weren't keeping the rules of Yovel. Didn't have Batei Arechoma and, you know, and all these other monetary laws that went along with it. Things didn't return at Yovel, you didn't have Steachuzah, you didn't have all these things in a Hanami. That's for sure the case. However, you still counted Yovels. Why? Because we have to know when to keep Shemitah. As we learned earlier, and now the Gemara is going to bring this machlok. This works according to the Rabbanan, Dam Rishnas Chamishim Enam Enaminyin, who say that the 50th year is not included in the count. El Rabbi Yehuda, Dam Rishnas Chamishim Olekan Olekan Lamali, B'shmitin Sagia. So we have a machlokas. Machlokas was as follows. According to the Rabbanan, they say the 50th year does not count in the Shemitah cycle. Right? It's independent. So therefore, we have our seven Shemitah cycles. Then the 50th year of Yovel. Then we begin counting Shemitah cycles again. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it just keeps on going. It counts in both directions, the 50th year. Meaning, it counts as the first year of the next cycle, presumably. And, sorry?
But is the Yovel year the first year of the next cycle, according to Rabbi Yehuda?
Correct. He says it counts, again, not only as part of a Yovel, but also as the first year of a Shemitah cycle. So, says the Gemara, when Rahman Yitzchak says that they did it in order to be Mekadesh Shemitah, they can only possibly work according to the Rabbanan. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't matter. The 50th year does count as a Shemitah year, so it won't matter if they were counting Yovels, because there's no restarting following Yovel. It's not like Yovel is a particular year and only then do you start the count. It's independent. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, how could this possibly be? Says the Gemara, Avarit lo Rabbi Yehuda, it's true. Velo manu Shemitin v'Yovelos. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you know, maybe... this certainly doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, at this point, I didn't really learn, but I'm happy to go on, because, you know, it's really still so early. We'll work our way to the next Gemara. Ask Gemara, V'lom manu shmitin v'yovlos faksiv, mikeis shev ha-shanim tishalchu ish es achiv ha-ivri, asher yimacher lecha. Okay, so says the Gemara, 1 second. Are you telling me you didn't actually keep these halachos? But it says, at the end of 7 years, okay, they sent, you know, Eved Ivris who were sold to them. V'havinan behu, when we ask about this pasuk, okay, and again, this is a pasuk that was said, you know, about that time, it's in Yirmiyah, okay? Ask the Gemara 1 second, okay? We ask, is it really mikeis shev ha-shanim v'hadar k'siv v'avadcha sheish shanim? But we have a pasuk which says it's a 6-year working. What do you even mean at the end of 7 years if people were freed? V'amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, sheish l'nim kar v'shev l'nirtza. Says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, again, coming to resolve these questions, I guess this was a specialty of his, or he focused on this mimra a little bit, that basically he said it's true. 6 years is before you get the you got your ear pierced. However, once we pierce your ear, you actually stay for 7 years.
Not till Yovel.
What?
I think that you stay till Yovel, if you're in Yerza.
Right? So, v'mnirto paga Yovel b'shana shminis l'ritzuas or yetsu b'yovel. So, yes, Rashi explains here, that it would be if the Yovel was the 8th year. So that's what it means here, that there's an extra year till Yovel. Okay? Says the Gemara, Hahu betochacha ksiv. Okay? V'ka'amar Navi, hishlachtem, v'aksiv ha'yishmu v'yishalechu. So the Gemara was saying this was, you know, at the end of the day, this was a tochacha, and the Navi is saying, right, that they were sent out, but it says, Right? So you can say this, you know, wasn't something that was implemented. So at the end of the day, now we have a question. It sounds like they were actually doing this at that point. Right? They had Yovel, right? Because otherwise it wouldn't have been letting them out after 7 years. And it says they listened and they sent away to listen to this tochacha. Elam Rabbi Yochanan said, Yirmiyah hechziran v'yoshia ben Amon malach aleihem. Rather, says the Gemara, yeah, in fact, Yirmiyah sort of returned, you know, the Yovelos. And Yoshia ben Amon was actually their king. And this was, you know, a full, you know, set of rules. Uminalan dehadar, and how do we know they returned? Yichsiv. Ki hamoker moker lamemkar lo yashuv. After Yovel bat of a navi misnabe alav, because again we have another nevuah which where he says there in this one in Yecheskel that hamoker lamemkar lo yashuv, which sounds like it's again referring to Yovel, right? It says after Yovel bat of a navi misnabe alav, would the navi really be talking about it? She yivatel, that in the future it will be mevotel, because that's what the nevuah is saying. In the future this will happen. Elam alami chichzir on Yirmiyah. And teaches us that Yirmiyah brought them back and reinstituted the Yovel, and they had Yoshia as their king.
Even though it didn't meet the criteria that we needed? Meaning you have to have majority of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael and in the proper Shvatim areas?
It's hard to say. It seems, you know, it seems from this case, I mean, it's hard to say that everybody was returned, but yeah, I guess...
You said the 10.5 tribes were returned temporarily or something by Yirmiyah.
That, I mean, that's what the Gemara seems to be saying, that Yirmiyah Echziran, that he brought them all back. That's what I think this dumb understanding of the Gemara is. Again, we're going blind here, so well, let's continue. But I would think the simple understanding would be that he brought everybody back, and therefore he reinstituted it. Right. Umin Allah and the Yoshia Malach Alein Dixiv, Vayomer Mat Yun Halaz Asher Ani Roe, Vayomer Lof Anshi Ha'ir, Hakever Yishu Lakim Asher Bam Yehuda, Vaykras Advarim, Alam Yizbeach, Beis El, Chimat Tivo Shel Yoshiyahu, Beis El. What was Yoshiyahu doing with Beis El? Alak Yichzir on Yirmiyahu, Yoshiyahu Malach Alei. And rather, when Yirmiyah brought everybody back, Yoshiyah brought them back, and that's why he's associated with Beis El. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Yacha Gam Yehuda. In this passage, it says Gam Yehuda Shas Katzir Lach Bishuvi Shivus Ami. And again, we have another passage that seems to, you know, to support this in this way that Katzir Katzin, right? And again, that they were returned, b'shuvi shivus ami, this is what the pasuk tells us over there from in Hosea. Again, to say there was a short period of time, perhaps, that they were actually returned onto their land.
So the 10 lost
land.
Tribes were found and then lost again?
I don't know exactly the history here and when exactly everybody was lost, but certainly, you know, that seems to be the case. I don't know, perhaps, you know, someone could read the Gemara to say that they didn't actually fit the criteria then, but we'll look into that.